Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. The United States is home to people from every part of the earth. That makes learning how people with differences can live together peacefully a particularly important American responsibility. Our guest, Elizabeth Lash Quinn, is an historian. She's concerned that the gains won in what she calls America's civil rights revolution have been hijacked by today's race experts who are increasingly defining how we relate to each other. Dr. Lash Quinn has found these social engineers have become our guides instead of
moral authorities or religious figures or ethics or philosophers or the great thinkers of our time, the most courageous thinkers, perhaps. But instead we turn to these very hastily written, hastily devised training materials or books that should be ever have put into print because they weren't well thought out and such. We turn to these materials thinking this will help us on our self-help tour. And in fact, that's a way of relying on experts and sometimes experts who really don't have the answers. I would say that we should start realizing that race relations is an area where we should all be learning the skills of living together, just as we should be learning those skills with everyone else.
Elizabeth Lash Quinn is a scholar. She is the author of Race Experts: How Racial Etiquette, Sensitivity Training, and New Age Therapy Hijacked the Civil Rights Revolution. Dr. Lash Quinn is full professor of history at the Maxwell School of Syracuse University. Her prior book, Black Neighbors, won the Berkshire Prize. Dr. Lash Quinn is also a frequent contributor to The New Republic. Since Bill Russell and I have had a great deal of direct experience with diversity in the business context, we were particularly interested to explore Dr. Lash Quinn's findings with her. So we went to Syracuse University in upstate New York to talk with her. Elizabeth Lash Quinn, most of us are accustomed to sort of mislaying things and forgetting where things are. But it's not often that I can say, you know, I sort of lost track of a revolution. I have this sense, and correct me if I'm wrong, that America wasn't watching. This wonderful old song, Eyes on the Prize, Hold On. We weren't watching when the American Civil Rights Movement came along. And then what happened?
Well, that's a great way to put it. And it is strange that one could lose track of a whole revolution. But I think we have to remember many other things were going on at the time. And these things maybe are less prominent in the national consciousness. However, perhaps because they didn't occur as a series of events the way the civil rights movement did. They sort of seeped into our consciousness. They were cultural movements.
You're talking about the 60s yeah. and 70s and 80s?
Yeah, really up to the present, all of these changes occurred.
Like what?
Mainly what I'm thinking about, that the main movement that came together with the civil rights movement was the rise of a kind of therapy movement, the rise of the culture of therapy. And that culture, I think, changed the terms in which we think of almost everything. And I didn't begin my research on this book with this conclusion, but after reading material from that time period and since, I reached the conclusion that the culture of therapy really helped to sidetrack the civil rights movement and keep it from being as revolutionary as I think it has the potential to be.
Still?
Still, yeah. Actually, still.
What were we about with the civil rights movement? What was the revolution?
Well, the revolutionary part of that movement, I think, was probably the earlier period, going way back as far as to the beginning, to the origins of this country. But
this is my American historian
yeah,
friend,
that's right.
Isn't it?
You can always go further back. But especially in the 20th century, with the early part of the century, the NAACP and the Urban League and all of the various progressive reform organizations that founded then, and all of the social settlement house work, the social reform work that took place in various neighborhoods throughout the country, rural and urban, but then especially in the aftermath of World War II, the real organizing by the NAACP and all of the other organizations.
And all those soldiers coming home.
Yeah, the soldiers coming home.
With raised expectations.
That's right. And actually tremendous achievements by the NAACP with their political and legal work during the Great Depression against the lynching in the South and in trying to make incursions into the schooling and voting and things like that, and trying to abridge some of the worst restrictions of Jim Crow and such.
And state terrorism.
Yeah. Well, a formalized, legalized form of apartheid in our country, for sure. And then in the aftermath of World War II, of course, we saw the great legal wins. Finally, the big achievements of Brown versus Board of Education and the attacks on the prevention of blacks from voting in the voting rights movement and the tremendous achievements in legislation in the 1960s. So that's the movement that I think was truly revolutionary. It brought down, tumbling down, a whole apparatus of laws and traditions that basically legalized segregation and legalized inequality.
Well, and we tend to focus, I think, at least those of us who don't study American history.
Unlike you.
We tend to focus, I think, on Martin Luther King and
right.
You know, as sort of the centerpiece. And I say that because Taylor Branch is very clear in his second book, whose name I will forget for a while, Parting the Waters or Pillar of Fire.
That's right. He's working on number three. He's not there yet.
Argues that when King died, when was assassinated, that the whole movement just sort of came unstuck.
Yes.
And at the same time, Gail Buckley, who's done an interesting history of blacks in the military, going back to the Revolution, the American Revolution, says that in Vietnam, we had, up until King's death, an integrated army, and people were working together. And with his death, that Vietnam became a different war, and mm-hmm. that the American side, the racial issues became very, very important. It could be King, or it could be the timing. And I think I have the feeling that when we come back...
You're so intuitive, Bill. Well, let's talk about that, because that is a turning point,
yes.
as I understand it, from your studies. And we'll... come back in just a moment to do that. We're with Elizabeth Lash Quinn. Bill Russell and I are pleased to be here in Syracuse, New York. We'll all be back in just a moment.